Raven, you know what's the worst part about not having functionable legs? Is functionable a word? Functioning legs.
Functioning legs right now. Functioning legs, yeah. Yes. Okay.
There's nobody to get me coffee.
Wow. Really? First world problem here. You know, you're going to walk again, which is a really good thing. I mean, I had the knee surgery before. Listen, getting up down the stairs was really terrible for me. And getting around when you're trying to go room to room, especially if you've got hardwood or anything like that, it's a little bit slippery. It's dangerous. So I get it. It's not convenient. I mean, you are making it to the bathroom. How far can the coffee machine be from the bathroom?
No, you're not anticipating the problem I have. So I had knee surgery a few days ago, and it was on my right knee, but because my hamstring wasn't strong enough to support the surgery, they ended up having to operate on my left knee as well, which has caused a whole series of problems that I didn't anticipate, because I always thought that I would have one good leg to hop around on, mm-hmm. and I no longer have that. But the problem is I can't use the crutches well. I'm really awful at them. I don't know what my problem is. I can't use them. So I've been using a walker, and the walker has been fine. I can kind of hobble my way, and I can't put weight on my right leg, but I can put a little bit of weight on my left leg. But I can make it to the bathroom, and I can make it back. Like, that's basically it. I don't go up and down my stairs. I sleep on my couch. My studio is set up literally 2 feet away from my couch where I lay the rest of the day. But to go to the kitchen, even if I could hobble over there, I can make the coffee.
You can't really stand.
But even if I figured it out, even if I could weight bear long enough on the one leg to do it, which I think I might be able to, how am I going to get the coffee from the kitchen back to the studio here in the family room with the walker?
Yeah, you know what? Fair enough. I didn't think that. Maybe you got to consider, what can you mount to the walker?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, first and foremost, I heard you when you went to the bathroom, because the mics doesn't turn off. Your studio is hot all the time in your living room. So I heard you when you went to the bathroom. Yeah. And your walker is really loud. It sounds like an ancient person or a ghost coming down the hallway in like a Scooby-Doo film. It's terrible. Put some tennis balls on those things on the corner, like every other old person you've ever seen in your entire life that utilize a walker. They did that because they figured out that it's better with tennis balls. All right.
I'm 40. I'm not putting tennis balls on the bottom of my walker.
The next thing you can use is maybe like, you know, like a shelf. Like, you know, like how they have like a zero gravity chair or something. It's got like a tray next to it, right? Or maybe a basket you put on the front of that thing.
Oh, I do like the idea of like a basket. Like my first Schwinn had like the basket
right?
when I was a kid.
With a flower on it, a flake
yes.
flower on the front. It's like a white basket weave that you put on the front there. And then you can put all sorts of stuff in there.
It's not the worst idea to mount like a basket, like my first Schwinn on the front of my walker.
Goose horn or a one of those rings on it too. So that way, you know, if anybody goes to cut you off, you can let them know that you're coming.
Well. Don't worry. They'll see me coming a mile away very, very slowly. I just wish you would come here and make me a cup of coffee. That's all I really want. Finland, Raven. That's where it all started. Scientists early on in the pandemic were like, how are we going to get a control on this virus? Mm-hmm. How are we going to know who's going to have it? And you know what they said?
I have no idea.
They said, we need puppies. We need dogs. That's what we need.
You know, I love it when dogs go to work. It's one of my favorite things, actually. So I'm totally cool with that.
They're actually perfect for this, because what the Finnish people found is that a dog's sense of smell. Well, they didn't find this. Everybody already knew this. Mm-hmm. But it's like 3 million times stronger than a human sense of smell. So they can inhale about 300 times per minute in short breaths. And what they can do is that they can smell odor particles that are not part of like your normal DNA, your normal cell makeup. So what the scientists found was they could smell COVID in your sweat.
Mm.
Here's one of the Finnish experts talking about it.
We compared people who had an infection with coronavirus and actually had clinical signs, so were COVID-19 patients, compared to a control group. And those groups, we were able to find a difference with a 94% hit rate.
I like the idea of them grouped around a Swedish fire, listening to Swedish folk music in Finland,
right.
along with
like
the Finnish
and all the puppies in a big circle.
Yeah. Right, all coming together there and then coming up with some sort of cure.
I don't know
if this is Finnish or Swedish. I got to be honest. I think I might have mislabeled it. I got to be honest with you.
Okay.
Well, whatever.
The thing I was thinking about was like, you have to be sweating. So you have to, like, do they just make you jump up and down and do 20 jumping jacks before the dog can smell your sweat? Or you just naturally have that sweat?
I think to a dog, a human always smells a little bit sweaty. Always, no matter based on their activity level or not.
So Raven and I put it to the test. Last night we went home to our puppies, our rescues, and we decided would have them smell us and see if they could smell any COVID on us. Mm-hmm. First, my dog Lila, who doesn't do a whole lot of anything.
Mm-hmm. Lila, smell mommy. Do you smell any COVID? Smell. Do I smell like I have COVID? Lila, do I smell like I've showered? I just want to eat your treat.
Your dog will just ignore you. That's what I've figured out here at this point.
I thought because the Finnish people said that they use treats to help the dogs like learn. So I was like, if I hold a treat in my hand and have her sniff me, then she'd be able to smell the COVID. Turns out, no. All she wants is the treat and could care less about whether or not I'm sick.
That's her focal point. Here's me laying on the couch with Barkley and asking Barkley to do the same.
Hey, puppy. Smell daddy. Huh? Do I get COVID? You smell any COVID? Huh? No COVID, right? Yeah. Oh, lick the phone. You smell any on the phone?
Good news. I don't have COVID, but my phone is licked clean.
And the way you talk to your dog is ridiculous.
He's my little baby boy.
Do I have COVID?
Listen to his desperation there. All he wants to do is please me. He's like, Dad, I don't smell anything, but he gets all worked up here in the middle. Listen.
Do I get COVID? You smell any COVID?
Listen. He just wants to please me.
Right. No COVID, right?
Such a sweet
boy. I'll tell you anything you want. He's like, Daddy, please, just give me that bone. I don't know if our dogs are well equipped to sniff out COVID, that's for sure.
That's all I need to know about you.
Everybody is bothered by something. What's that thing that drives you nuts? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you think that you're going to capture a man's heart by showing up to meet him for the first time with a giant snake wrapped around your neck, that's all I need to know about you.
Ironically, I found myself watching the exact same thing last night, so I think it was a lack of options. I found myself watching The Bachelor for the first time ever, really, in the history of the show. And from what I gather, I mean, it's been going on forever, right? It's a very big, successful franchise, and it is ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous.
I have to ask my best friend, Lisa. So my best friend, Lisa, has been obsessed with The Bachelor for many, many years. I believe this is the 26th season.
Oh, like, my gosh.
We're not the first. The way you're talking about it, it's like it just came out. Right, this isn't Squid Game.
I mean, that's amazing, right? I mean, 26 seasons, it's almost the longest running show on TV at that point. That's crazy.
Right. So I have never been a fan. And my boss always says, don't trash The Bachelor. Highest ratings on TV.
People love it.
And I get it. I understand all of that. But to me, I find something very odd and demeaning about like 30 women trying to get one guy's attention. I don't know. To me, it just feels wrong and icky. But then last night, Hayden, my almost teenager, was sitting next to me. Mm. And all I want her to do is watch TV with me. Because, you know, if you have a teenager, like to get them to do anything with you is a big deal.
Sure.
And I was like, do you want to watch The Bachelor? And she was like, all right, you know. So now here's Clayton, and I'm in. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I could get into this first season. Why not? Then these girls start showing up, and I'm thinking in my head, what is wrong with these women? Like, I can understand the executive producers probably saying to them, you want to stand out
from
the crowd.
Right. You know how it is in the business. You know, you've got to do something. If he's meeting 30 women or 31 women in one night, like, you've got to do something where you want to jump out at him.
Right. But first, there was the woman girl who showed up in the trampoline moon shoes. So she had on trampoline shoes where she could, like, jump up and down. And she's wearing a ball gown. And all I'm thinking about is, like, she's going to take out an ankle. Like, this can't be safe.
Yeah, it seemed dangerous to me for a moment when I do recall her.
Yeah, then there was the Power Wheels girl.
Yes.
She crammed herself into a little, like, Jeep Power Wheels and came in. And I was thinking in my head, I go, what? Like, at what point were you like, if I show up in this Power Wheels like a toddler, this guy's going to think I'm hot?
Yeah.
And then there was a woman that came in a vintage car because they painted her as the cougar, the quote-unquote cougar.
She was 33.
She was 33.
33 years old, yes.
What world?
I said the same thing, right? He was 28, right? I mean, he's 28 or 29.
I was like, wait a minute. Cougars are 33 years old now?
Yeah.
Because that makes me a grandmother. Like, I don't understand. And then the girl with the snake around her neck. Like, you show up with a shock factor. You've got a giant snake around your neck. Okay, good. Now, Clayton is just standing there, and, you know, he's got a smile through all this nonsense. Like, I hope he knows that the producers told these girls to be extra dumb, because that's exactly what happened. But now, for the whole night, which is 7 hours long, she's got to walk around with this giant snake around her neck. Yeah. And every time they go to commercial break, they go to the snake. What do you think the snake is going to do? Right?
It was odd. You forgot the girl who came in with the monster truck and ran over the power wheels. Yeah, there was many things. And then the pilot who brought, like, what was her mom with her? I mean, it was all very awkward to me. Yeah. So,
but the girl that took it home, it was the girl that came with her ex's ashes in an urn and basically threatened him and said, "This is the ashes of my ex-boyfriend." And I'm thinking in my head, yeah, that's a good way to start a relationship, right?
Yeah, looks like it's going to be an interesting season.
Oh, that's all I need to know about all of them. Good idea, bad idea. We're not even done with the first week of January, and there's been all these questionable announcements being made about what we can look forward to in this year.
Okay.
So, Raven, I'll tell you what they are, and then you immediately tell me, is it a good idea or is it a bad idea? Sound good?
I'm ready for it. Go ahead.
Okay, number one, umbrella sharing app in New York City. It's called Rentbrella. So there's these kiosks that are be putting around Manhattan with about 100 umbrellas, and you go whenever you need an umbrella, and you just take one. It's for free. But it's like a library book. So if you don't return it within the first 24 hours for free, they charge you $2 after the first day, another $2 a day after that. And if you don't return it within 4 days, they charge you $16, and now you own the umbrella.
So let me get this straight. So you just pick up umbrellas in these different areas throughout the city, and then you can leave them wherever. So it's like these scooters or like those you know, city bikes that you can pick up, and then you pedal them for however long you want, and then you leave them somewhere else?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it seems like a great idea, number one, if it's raining and you happen to be walking right by it, all right? Seems like a bad idea once somebody gets bashed over the head or stabbed in the neck with an umbrella.
Good point. All right, good idea or bad idea? Gwyneth Paltrow's new diet. Ready for it?
Okay, go on.
It's like the new celebrity diet that everybody's talking about. It's you lose 5 pounds in 5 days. But all these celebrities that are doing it, like Jennifer Aniston, Kate Hudson, Eva Longoria, they're saying it's not about the 5 pounds in 5 days. Yeah, okay. It's it's about the way they feel. And then they say their new metabolical age is like 2 years younger after the 5 days.
Sure.
So I looked into it because, I mean, of course I did. I wanted to
Everybody
know
wants
was.
To be younger. Yeah. Sure, of course. Yeah, yeah, why not? I won't fault you for that.
I don't understand the whole metabolical age thing because like I get on my scale and my scale does that too. And one day I'm like 5 years older than I am. The next day I'm like 3 years younger. I'm like, I ate that same bowl of Lucky Charms for breakfast this morning. I'm not sure what I've done differently. But Gwyneth Paltrow's diet, it's $249 you pay for this five-day diet.
Okay.
And ultimately what it is, it's like you're fasting and then you eat some soup. Like that's really it. And I was like, I don't understand why this is $249. Why are you paying somebody $249 to tell you to starve yourself? And every single person that's done it says that they're still hungry, but they feel better afterwards and they no longer crave red wine.
I mean, here's the thing, too. Jennifer Aniston, all right? Eva Longoria, like everybody you mentioned, already beautiful. Every single one of them, already gorgeous. So do we see the 5 pounds come off of them? Does it really make a difference with somebody like that? I'm going to say keep your $250. Get the flu, all right? And you'll lose the first 5 pounds that you want real quick.
You'll go a bad idea.
You'll be fine.
All right, here's the third one. Good idea or bad idea for the new year?
Yeah.
It's called the Wingman Dating App, and it's where other people vouch for you, and they basically say you're not a creepy weirdo, and they try to find you people to date. So, like, instead of, like, you posting, like, a profile of yourself, it's basically a lot of moms posting pictures of their, like, daughters over 30 and saying, hey, my daughter's beautiful and she's so kind.
Right.
Why
she's
can't
very
she
nice.
Find the right guy? You know?
She volunteers. She does all these things. I mean, it sounds like people getting up and testifying in a character witness type situation here before you get sentenced at the end of the day. But it might work for some, you know, because if you've given your mom or your friend or whatever permission to post about you, clearly, I mean, a line of desperation has been passed, right? You're ready to go.
So out of all of these, we think, out of the best one for the upcoming new year, which one is the best thing that's going to happen?
I'm going to say it's your mom setting you up for dates. As terrible as that sounds, that's where I'm going.
Okay. Remember when having a BlackBerry made you cool? Remember that? I didn't have a BlackBerry for a long time. I had one of those Palm Trios. Remember them? The one with the stylus pen that stuck inside?
You know what? I never had a Palm, but I did have a BlackBerry. And I'll tell you something. I loved that phone. It was the most durable phone or pager or anything like that that I ever owned in my entire life. I mean, you could kick that thing down the stairs and it would still be fine. Yeah. And if you had that rollerball thing, like you started getting good with that, like that was it, you know, and it had the full typewriter of text. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So BlackBerry is going to cease to work today. If you have a classic BlackBerry phone, it's going to stop working. Here's somebody explaining why.
BlackBerry is discontinuing basically all the operating systems that still run on 7.1, BlackBerry 10, and BlackBerry Playbook. Things like texting won't work, data won't work, you can't call 911. No, nothing will reliably still be working on these phones.
I got to be honest with you, I had no idea they were still working. I mean, I might have sought one out if I was one of those like retro guys on that. Like, I have things that I dig that are old technology, but I didn't realize like the phone was still even an option.
Right. Like, when's the last time, like, you walked into a store and you were like, oh, look, here's a BlackBerry.
Right.
Like, it's been a long time. Look, if you're still holding on to that.
Like, it's the new BlackBerry. Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, I haven't heard that phrase in many, many, many years.
I know. But it's kind of sad to see it go and to think, like, okay, well, that definitely doesn't work anymore. And then I was thinking about, like, well, what's the technology that's not around anymore that you really miss? And I'm embarrassed to admit it. But, Raven, I miss beepers. Remember how cool it was when you first got a pager?
Oh, man. There was nothing like getting a 911 call or a 143 call from somebody that was like, let's hang out later on.
Yes.
You'd have to go stop and find a payphone.
Oh, yeah.
And give them a call back and you'd be like, what? Hello. Yes, I do remember those times. That was exciting.
Unless you're under the age of 30 and you're like, wait a minute.
You'd be like, wait, what are you talking about, right?
Yeah. I remember like all around town, like whenever like my mom, I'll be honest, it was like my mom that would page me constantly to find out like where I was at all hours all the time. I would like know which pay phones to go to and there would be like a line at them, like, you know, for people calling back.
That's funny. Yeah, I do remember. I just picked up for Christmas, I got my wife a mini Super Nintendo because we were walking through the mall and like, you know, there's the Carnival Barker type guy like at the kiosk and he's selling them and he's playing Super Mario and she was immediately sucked in. And we haven't beaten it yet. We still have not captured the princess, but we're getting close. We're really, really close.
Wait, do the codes still work? Left, right, up, down, all that stuff?
We're not cheating. We're trying to go all the way through. Which, I mean, as far as we're concerned, taking the warp zones is still enough cheating already. Back to BlackBerry. Where can I get one of those today? That would be fun.
I doubt anywhere. I actually found my original iPhone, like my first iPhone ever, like whatever the first one was, the 4 or the 3.
Did it weigh 40 pounds?
Oh, yeah. It was like a brick.
Right, you can microwave popcorn inside it.
I gave it to my daughter, Hayden. I said, Mommy wants you to take care of this. One day it's going to be worth a lot of money. She's like, what is this? I was
right,
like,
right.
It's the end of an era. BlackBerry today will stop working. So if you still have one from like, I don't know, 15 years ago, you can't call, you can't text. But it got us thinking, what is the piece of technology that's long gone, but man, you miss it? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I actually miss making photo albums. Like, nobody does it anymore. Everything's basically all on your phone. But I like to physically, like, look at the book, turn the pages, and just, you know, have it as, like, a little entertainment piece for people to look at when they come over.
I do, too. You're right. I miss that. I don't miss, like, the labor that goes into them, but I do love to go through the books. Like, my mom in the basement of our house has all our baby books, like all the way through like our high school graduations and everything, and they're all labeled, and it's so fun to go down there and go through them. And like, my kids are never gonna have that.
But you've got to take the time to actually go down there and go through them, right? So my grandmother was big on that. She did the whole genealogy thing in a book. It's like ancestry.com. But the truth is I haven't spent any time going through it. At some point, I'm going to, I suppose, but I haven't yet.
Yeah. You will.
And meanwhile, Ancestry sends me 3 emails a day, and they're like, "Well, for just, you know, $49, we'll map that all out for you, and you can have it in a nice bulletin board."
You know. But she already did the work.
Yeah,
your grandmother did it.
No, she did, and I would definitely trust her over them.
Hi, Anna and Raven. What's the technology you miss the most?
Absolutely, my Walkman. That was like, that thing was built to last. It tore through batteries, but I wore that thing every day when I was doing track and field.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just, I don't know. It just brings me back to this nostalgic kind of high school vibe, you know?
I gotta set the decade here now. We're talking cassette and tuner, or just cassette, or are we talking, we're not talking Discman. We're not talking, no.
No.
Because you would have said Discman.
No, they always skipped.
Right.
You know, the Discman never measured up.
Right.
Yeah.
I had
they
one of those.
Always skipped.
Yeah, I had one of those shelf things that you could have the Discman in the car and the smallest bump whatsoever. And then it would take 15 seconds for it to start back up. It was terrible. But the cassette Walkman was the best.
Cassette Walkman was where it was at. They had that like steel noise when you open it, like clang.
Yeah.
And you'd stick the cassette in there. And every once in a while, your favorite one would get jacked up and you have to take a pencil and rewind the tape. Nah, the old school, like Black and Decker style.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That is nice.
A little before my time, to be honest. I don't think I ever had a Walkman. So I have a quick question. When you wanted to change your tape, the cassette, you also had to carry the cassettes with you?
Of course.
You carry like three cassettes usually. It was always Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses. Was always there.
Right.
That was always there.
Yeah, that was one of them. And a Madonna tape. There'd be a random Madonna tape. I don't care whether or not you were listening to metal. There was definitely a Madonna tape in the
80s. Don't Preach. That's right. A Material
Girl
cassette.
That's right.
And usually something left of center like CNC Music Factory.
Yes!
Why?
Gosh, this is great. Yeah. And then you would have cassette cases, Anna, where you could carry like 30 or 60, and it would be like padded. It looked like a cooler. It looked like, you know, those three Coors Light coolers. They end up with cases of beer, but you put cassettes
the
in there.
Cases were always empty and missing the wrong tape.
That's right. That's right.
That's funny.
Gosh, I miss Walkman now, too. Sony made one that was made out of metal, Anna. It weighed at least 12 pounds. It's fantastic.
How do you walk with that strap to you?
Oh, I mean, back then, it was the height of technology.
With pride.
Diane wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven that they're starting to get rid of navigation in vehicles, and she's going to miss that because everyone's using it on their phone. My car doesn't have built-in navigation. It was the same thing. Like, they were like, oh, everybody uses their phone now. That makes me nervous for some reason, right?
Yeah, you know what? It is in my car, but I hardly ever use it because it doesn't really update the same way. They send me these things all the time where they're like, well, you can update your, you know, in-car navigation for $100. And I'm like, who's paying that? Nobody's paying that, not ever. I got my phone right here. I'm not doing that.
What is the technology that is gone that you miss? Today is the last day for BlackBerry. If you have a BlackBerry device, it's going to stop being able to text. You can't call 911. You can't use it anymore. Today's the last day. They told you 2 years ago, so you had a heads up. But there's some things that are gone that you still miss. What are they? 1-800-330-9999. And on Raven?
Honestly, I really miss my flip phone because I am always cracking the screens on my phones nowadays. Like, you drop it 3 inches onto the table and, like, you cracking the edges, and that never used to happen. And I never butt dialed anybody. Like, you would think, okay, you have to enter a password now to the screen, but no, not the case. I'm still always calling people or sending weird text messages, and that just never happened with my flip phone.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring up flip phones because I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about landlines. Like, I miss landlines when you could just not answer the phone and people would assume that you weren't home and then you didn't have to talk to anybody. You know what I'm talking about?
They wouldn't call back. Right. They would just, they would leave a message. And then
that's
they would,
the end of it.
Right. And then maybe they'd call back 2-3 days later, right? Or you could take the phone off the hook and act like, that's it. Well, sorry, we were busy.
Can you imagine? There was a time when people would call you and you didn't know who it was on the other line and you answered. You were like,
it was a surprise
hello.
Every time, right.
It was a surprise.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, hi, may I speak to Dino, please? Like, please hold. May I ask who's calling? And you'd be like, Dad, it's a doctor.
It was
you
the
know?
Golden age.
It's crazy.
The golden age of telemarketing. The golden age. Like, you know, every time was a surprise. So you could give that same surprise tone back and you would think the person that was answering actually thought they won something. They didn't win anything.
Oh, my gosh. Total phone I always miss because I always thought it was so cool that you could be on phone with like 20 people at once. Now it's like you have these group text messages. It's not the same thing. You know, it's not like when you had 20 people on the line and you didn't know who was saying what.
My parents would not pay the 35 cents or whatever it was more for total phone a month. We was poor. We didn't have total phone.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the technology you miss the most?
I miss my VCR player. I mean, I still have all these old tapes back when I used to tape shows or you know, my old Star Wars collection. Like, I want to watch these. I want to watch these old movies. I want to watch these shows that I taped, and I can't. No VCR player anymore.
Right. That's true. You can't find that barely pretty much anywhere. If you're finding a VCR nowadays, you're either buying it off some vintage site, you're getting it at a pawn shop, or you're getting like a VCR that backs things up to CD or you know, DVR or something like that, which you can't even find that now. I mean, there's no CD burners. Like, you don't need that stuff anymore.
The funny part is if you pop in an old VHS tape, and you see how terrible the quality is. Mm. It's almost like, for me, I can't get through the first 5 minutes of it because I'm like, how do we watch this? This is terrible. Meanwhile, it was all we ever had at the time. And yeah. It was the greatest invention ever was to be able to watch movies like that.
But there was something to say about having that case of tapes, you know, that reliable stuff that you dug and wanting to pull out your favorite. Now, you know, we could stream absolutely everything, man. I'm with you. But when you're looking through all the choices, everything looks like blah, blah, blah. Whereas if I'm flipping through my tapes, Jaws for the 7,000th time, third time today, yeah.
All right, so there's good news and there's bad news, Raven. The bad news is that if you didn't check your Powerball tickets from last night, you're probably a loser anyway because nobody won the giant jackpot. The good news, that means we're going to win tomorrow night.
Woo, girl, I'm going to retire. It's going to be so much fun.
Jackpot goes up to $575 million, which, you know, can continue going up as people buy tickets today and tomorrow.
Sure.
Odds of winning the jackpot are 1 in 292.2 million.
Well, that's good enough for me, right? I mean, somebody always wins eventually. Mm-hmm. Somebody does have to win. Whether or not you've got some theory on as to whether or not the lottery is picking out people that are going to slip on a banana peel the next week and be deceased so they don't have to pay out or something like that. That's your own theories. But somebody inevitably will win.
And the big question always is, and the thing you want to fantasize about is, if you do win the lottery, what are you going to do with all that cash? So we sent producer John out to ask a whole bunch of kids what they would do if they won that much money. And here's what they said.
Gold?
They're going to buy gold.
They're just going to buy gold.
The first
Lots
kid
of gold.
It's going to buy gold, which is not the worst plan, by the way. Even though gold is at a high, guess what? Gold's going to go up. It's still going to go up. So it's like, you know, it's like a savings plan, kind of. You just got to hide all that gold and make sure nobody steals it from you.
Yeah. What else?
What would they buy if they won the lottery?
Poppets.
What? Lots of poppets.
What is a poppet?
Oh, come on, Raven. Poppets are like those. They look like, the best way I can describe them is they look like almost like honeycombs. Like, you know how you picture a honeycomb, but you push it through and it's like a rubber thing. It's, I don't know why. Actually,
yeah, I have no interest in buying these. Never mind. Forget it. I mean, terrible investment there.
I have no idea why they're so popular, why I have so many at my house right now. I could look over my living room right now and there's probably like 30 around here. It's so strange.
Yeah, I don't want to rain on your parade, kid, but probably spend your money somewhere else.
Yeah.
You've just won the lottery. What are you going to do?
Ducks and cats.
Ducks and cats. Aren't you afraid the ducks will eat the cat? I mean, the cats will eat the ducks?
No, I'll keep them in separate rooms.
So you're buying ducks and cats.
I mean, I'd rather have the ducks and cats over the poppets. Let's be honest, right?
Yeah. I feel like, though, I mean, if you've got the bucks, right, and you've got the big house, so, I mean, who's going to live in this house with you? I mean, you've just won the lottery. You're not bringing your parents with you. You're clearly bringing ducks and cats.
That's it.
That makes total sense to me.
The first thing I buy is a big, big house for my family. Nice. And move away, not tell anybody.
That kid subscribes to the same list that I do. I always tell my friends, if I win the Powerball, whenever it gets up around $1 billion or whatever, if I win the Powerball, your first phone call from me will be from my super yacht. And I'll be at least 15 miles offshore. And if I want to see you again, there'll be a suitcase full of money waiting for you, but you'll have to wait for the helicopter to come pick you up.
Isn't that always the big thing? Like, you're going to consult with your lawyers. You're going to create an LLC. You're going to claim it in somebody else's name. Nobody's going to know it's you. You got to figure it all out. I mean, I have the whole thing written out somewhere in detail just in case.
You've just won the lottery. What are you going to do?
A Lamborghini. I would buy a mansion. I would buy a electric rocket ship and get the biggest bar of Snickers that was ever invented.
Did they talk to me?
I was about to say, was that me? rocket ship, mansion, biggest Snickers bar. Yeah, check all of those things.
Mm-hmm. You just won the lottery. Congratulations. What's the first thing you're going to buy?
Oh, my God.
What's the first thing you would buy?
I might not going to buy, but I'm going to probably donate.
Oh.
Aww.
See that? That one kid is out there. That's better than all of us.
Absolutely. It's so funny. You know, you usually ask people, like, what happened over the holiday break? What happened? Did you have a good time? Oh, yeah, it was great. We had love. I saw my family. Nope, not this year. I feel like everybody you run into has a story, like a holiday from hell story, right?
Well, something went, you know, took a left-hand turn or whatever, whether it's, you know, whether it's certain places or people traveling plans snared up or whatever. There was some tension that rose. And, of course, rising COVID levels again. Do we get together? Do we get a test? Whatever. Who knows?
I was lucky because I was flying home the day that they started canceling all the flights. And I was never so relieved. My flight was delayed 3 hours, but I didn't care. As long as it was going to get up in the air and get me home,
right?
I was happy. But that wasn't the truth for like thousands and thousands of people across the country. They couldn't find flights home. And then there was I had people that came down with COVID last minute. All their plans got canceled. It stinks.
Yeah. My family was healthy and, happy. So that was good. The get togethers were fine. But I'll tell you what happened with my holiday is they picked up the trash and recyclables 2 days before Christmas, and then everything was immediately full right after Christmas, and they didn't come back for like 2 weeks. So in my garage right now, I have mountains of I've got so many boxes, styrofoam hanging off all over the place. Like, I mean, I can't get rid of anything. There's bottles, and there's nothing worse than having to leave your trash in the garage for like a week.
My holiday from hell story is just that, you know, I went in for my knee surgery and they had mentioned to me, and I shouldn't say mentioned, they told me that there was a possibility that they would have to also operate on my good leg if my hamstring on my bad leg wasn't strong enough. But I like just disregarded that as like,
that happens, you know,
as fine
people.
Print.
That doesn't
not
happen
me.
To me. Right.
I have great hamstrings. Look at my hamstrings.
I'm so strong. My
Look
hamstrings are ripped.
I do leg presses before I blew out this knee. And then I woke up and both my knees were bandaged and I was like, uh-oh.
Sad day, right.
Sad day. Between that and potty training my kid, man, that was my holiday from hell. 1-800-330-9999. What happened during your holiday from hell?
Oh, God. My mom and my mother-in-law had a huge fight in front of everybody. And it was over the grandkids that my mom... Basically, my mother-in-law basically accused my mom for hoarding them, and she never gets to spend time with them as much as she does, and it was just tug of war with the kids, and I was very drunk afterwards.
As you should be. Well, right.
Truth is that one of those moms is living in truth and the other one is lying, because they do that all the time.
I mean, it's true.
It's true.
It's terrible to say it, and like, it's not the same in every family, but usually... One mom does get the grandkids more often than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Anna and Raven, the holiday from hell. What happened?
So my wife and I flew from North Carolina to New York to visit our family for the holidays. And, you know, we got here. We took the rapid test because, you know, being responsible. And we both tested positive. So we turned right back around, rented a car. We drove 7 hours back to North Carolina. We didn't get to see anybody. And the worst of it is, after we got back, like, the whole family wound up testing positive for COVID.
I feel like I've heard this story 1,000 times. I feel like everywhere you turn lately, it's somebody's got the, yeah, they got COVID. Yeah, no, they got COVID. And it's, like, fast. You remember it was, like, the 5 to 10 day incubation. Now it's, like, if you walk across somebody, like, a Walmart, and they breathe in your direction, you got the Omicron. That's all it is.
Yeah. That's true.
Flight delays. Get-togethers canceled because one person tested positive for COVID, and then everybody had COVID again. What was the thing that made your holiday from hell? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
Oh, man. So I'm one of them that booked a flight, and then, of course, it got canceled, and then got rebooked on another flight. And then after waiting to board that one, that got canceled. And so my wife and I ended up having to drive 6 hours to another airport to catch a flight.
In most areas, you know, a certain amount of distance, there is a backup airport, right? In 6 hours, you say to yourself, what's that really out of my life? But the process of getting the car, driving, and then going to the other place and checking in, like, I hate all that.
Were you flying home or were you flying to your like destination?
No, we were flying home. And so it was, you know, we had been with the relatives for days and just wanted to get back. And our dog was in the kennel and it was just, yeah, it was a nightmare.
You put the dog on it. I'm definitely doing it. All right. Before that, I'm like, you know what? Just don't tell your relatives. We're not going back there. I'll stay at the airport Hojo's if I have to. To get past that, but if the dog's held up in lockup too, then I got to make it back somehow. You know me, Anna.
I can't exactly. figure out what's worse is if these things happen to you on the way to your destination or on the way home. Because like when you're going somewhere, you're still kind of excited, so you'll do anything to get there.
Right.
But there's some destinations I wouldn't mind getting stuck in for a couple extra days.
The worst is where you get stuck in the middle, right? You got the layover. And you're going somewhere and you get stuck. I got stuck one time 4 hours on a layover at an airport because you don't know anybody there. You're not there for anything important. You know, there's nothing for you to do around that area. You just camp out basically on the floor of the terminal.
I've never flown through Dallas and not gotten stuck there. That's why I won't do layovers in Dallas anymore.
Wow.
Every single time without fail, I get stuck there. I'm very familiar with their Applebee's.
Riblets, man, riblets.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven, your holiday from hell. What happened?
It's kind of a random thing. Like, okay, have you ever seen The Christmas Story, the movie that they always play?
Yeah.
And they always say, like, oh, you're going to shoot your eye out, kid, you know. Anyways, so my sister and brother-in-law, they bought a bunch of Nerf guns for their kids. The first time that they've ever had Nerf guns. And my sister is unpackaging everything, kind of putting them all together, assembling them. But the three-year-old, before we like had a chance to give instructions or anything, shot her mother in the eye with a Nerf.
Perfect.
And just totally derailed Christmas. Like, she couldn't see out of it. We thought we were going to have to go to the hospital. She ended up getting like a black eye. Everything was swollen. Like, Christmas just completely shut down.
I mean, for her, for me, best laugh.
Aww,
sorry,
that's the worst.
So that's funny. And those Nerf guns are serious nowadays.
They are serious. They're like they're dangerous.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why the three-year-old ain't supposed to have their finger on the trigger.
Right.
Teach some safety around there.
Or the 45-year-old man who's just messing around with all his brothers and cousins outside in the yard. Either.
Pretty sure they have a sniper one that goes like 80 yards.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Jason and Mary. Mary, what's going on?
Hi, guys. So I'm about to have my second child, and I just don't think that Jason should be in the delivery room with me.
Well, he is the father, right?
Yeah, but okay, so for our first baby, he passed out in the delivery room, and the nurses were taking better care of him than of me. They were babying him, like, doting on him, and I'm giving him a pass, you know? Like, he doesn't have to be in the delivery room. It's not his thing. I understand it. Like, my mom can be there.
How embarrassing. Jason, you ruined it. What happened, Jason? What's your side of this?
I mean, I pass out one time, and I'm banned for life? That's not all right. Yes, I do kind of get queasy sometimes, but, you know, that was once. What am I going to tell my daughter down the road, that I'm too queasy to risk it? That's why I just sat it out? Mm. Like, that's not all right, you know? So, I mean, I think I'll be fine. I know what to expect a little bit more. I can just kind of, you know, bring my iPad and sit in the corner in a chair until things get really rolling. And I feel like I have a right to be there.
Man, that's funny, right? I don't think I ever actually asked my mother the delivery story of me, but I would imagine that there's a lot of these that come up there. And after you do something one time, like, you want to be comfortable, right? So I kind of understand what she's saying. On the other hand,
I mean,
you're the dad.
Right.
I kind of see both sides of this because, like, when you're in labor, you don't want to be looking over at your husband who's keeled over in a corner while the nurses are attending to him.
Right.
You know, like, I can understand if that happened the first time, why she wouldn't be so happy at having it the second time. And ironically, I remember, like, back in the day, I hate to even say it, but, like, my dad wasn't even in the delivery room. They, like, called him and he like sat outside until they came out and said it's a girl.
I'm imagining my father in the corner with like his little igloo cooler and his six Heinekens that he had in there. He always had six Heffenreffers or Heinekens in a cooler. So what happens when he gets five in there? He's like, is it going to happen in the next 15 minutes? Because I need to reload.
I mean, I guess we can see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with Mary that if this isn't your thing, you get queasy, you get sick, sit it out. No one's going to fault you for it. Her mom will be perfectly strong enough and happy enough to stand by her side while she delivers. But they may see your side too, Jason. You want to fight through it. It's your baby too, even if you want to sit in a corner and not make eye contact.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Here's the thing. When they had their first baby, Jason's that guy that's queasy, doesn't do well in medical settings. What happened? He passed out. It was a big scene. All the nurses had to deal with him. So Mary says, you know what? This time I could have my mom with me. You could sit it out. But Jason doesn't agree.
Yeah, Jason says, listen, this time around I've got a plan. I'm going to bring my iPad. I'm going to make sure that I back off at certain times. I won't pay as close attention before. If I get a little bit queasy, I'll just sit down and take it easy in the corner. I mean, after all, this is my daughter that's going to be coming out here. How am I going to tell her that I wasn't there?
Yeah, whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on the dad's side. I think, you know, obviously, as parents, the dad definitely should have a say in it. It is also his kid. So 100% that dad definitely should be in that room with her.
I mean, if you're saying you want to be there, it makes sense to me that you'd have to make it so that dad could be there, right? I mean, after all, it's his baby.
Yeah, how are you going to say your husband can't be in there? But then again, if he passed out the first time, you're like, I really want to deal with this all over again?
It's true. I also understand that.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Jason and Mary are expecting their second child, which is all great news. But here's the thing. Mary does not want Jason in the delivery room with her. Why would she not want her husband to watch her second baby be born? Because when the first one was born, he passed out and all the nurses had to like deal with him. He's just one of those guys that gets really queasy in medical settings.
Yeah, I mean, Jason says, listen, you pass out one time, you got to live with that reputation the rest of your life. It's not very fair. This is my second child. What am I going to tell my baby girl when she grows up and says, Dad, what was the delivery room like? He's like, well, I wasn't allowed in there. Forget it. You know, even though that Mary wants to bring her mom, he says, no, I've got a right to be in there. I'm the father.
I don't know. What do you think? It does take a lot of attention off her. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on the wife's side for two reasons. Number one, it's not only that he passed out. It's just that she didn't get the attention that she needed when she's in pain. Everybody was focusing on him. She wants someone in there who's going to be focusing on her. And even his excuse is that he's going to sit in the corner with a laptop. No, I'm on the wife's side.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, he is already making it about him and not her delivering this child. I'll just sit there quietly with my laptop. We'll let the nurses know. It won't be a big deal. You're making it a big deal.
Well, I mean, on the other hand, if she says to the nurses, this is what happened the first time, wouldn't they be aware of that? Won't they take control of that? I mean, most rooms that I've been in, if it's a hospital, the nurse is in charge.
I have to feel like the nurse rolls her eyes and is like, what are you doing here? No, being like, are you serious right now? I got to take care of your wife. I got to worry about you too. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the mom's side here. You know what? She's the one who's going to be going through labor and the birth experience physically. If she's got to worry about the father of the child passing out, it's not a punishment for the father, as he noted. It's merely her doing the best she needs to do to protect her experience while she's giving birth.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Mary, our audience agreed with you today. You know, Jason, it's okay if this isn't your thing. There's plenty of people that don't do well under medical circumstances like this. It may be a lot to take in. And if your wife is going to be more comfortable with her mom there, your daughter's not going to know the difference. She's a baby. And you can explain to her one day that you passed out during her big brother's delivery. So you decided to sit that one out. She'll understand.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I do feel like I'm okay, but I also do understand, you know, last time I didn't do so great. So.
Well, you know, you can set up shop out in the waiting room now. I'm sure they've got a special room they can put you up in there while you wait for the whole thing to come through. And you show up at the big moments. You go right to the door as it's delivery time. And then when they come back out, you go, yes. And then you can make the announcements and hand out cigars.
Maybe so.
Yeah, Mary, at least you're going to be more comfortable. Does that make you feel good?
Yeah, I'm really excited to share this moment with my mom. Like, I got to share it with my husband the first time, mostly. And, you know, now my mom will be there. And Jason, you'll be the next in line after I hold the baby. You trust me, like, my mom will not hold the baby before you get to.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that.
That'll never happen in my family. My mom would be like, are you crazy? Yeah. She'd be the first one to hold the baby.
Right. She'd be like, all of you out of the way. Right.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hey, Barbara, you ready to play?
I'm ready to play. Thank you.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room?
Sure, Barbara. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, Barbara, Raven is walking on out of here. The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is up to $3,000 thanks to Discover Card. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who answers your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. It's 5 questions. Get more right than Raven gets right. You win the cash. Ties go to Raven. Number one. Spider-Man No Way Home has made almost $610 million domestically, making it the 10th highest grossing film ever at the U.S. box office. What actor currently plays Spider-Man?
Tom Holland.
Number two, Nicolas Cage stated that he wants you to call him a thespian, not an actor. He once bought a $150,000 eight-legged pet that he believed would make him a better thespian. What kind of pet was that?
An octopus?
Number three, The New Bachelor premiered. Clayton is the new guy. The new host of the show is Jesse Palmer. He replaced who?
I'm not sure. I've got a pass.
Number four, The Weeknd will drop his new album this weekend, and he has an unlikely guest on it, Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey will played Dr. Robotnik in what 2020 movie?
I'm not sure.
And number five, The Batman was voted the most anticipated movie of 2022, starring Robert Pattinson as Batman. Who will play Catwoman?
I'm not sure.
All right, Barbara, let's bring Raven back in. That's all right. That's all right. You tried, right?
I can't wait for my teacher. Yay.
Yep.
Barbara says she can't wait for her t-shirt. She got two right.
Okay, let's see how I do, Barbara.
Number one, Spider-Man No Way Home has made almost $610 million domestically, making it the 10th highest grossing movie film ever at the U.S. box office. What actor currently plays Spider-Man?
Tom Holland.
Number two, Nicolas Cage stated that he wants you to call him a thespian, not an actor. He once bought a $150,000 eight-legged pet that he believed would make him a better thespian. What kind of pet was that?
Well, it's not a spider, so I'll take a shot and say octopus.
Yes. You guys are tied.
What?
Number three, The New Bachelor premiered. Clayton is the new guy. The new host of the show is Jesse Palmer. He replaced who?
Chris Hansen is the former host.
No, Chris Harrison. Chris Hansen is the other guy, the one that catches predators.
Oh, right. Oops.
Number three, The Weeknd will drop his new album this weekend and has an unlikely guest on it, Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey played Dr. Robotnik in what 2020 movie?
That's Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes. And number five, The Batman was voted the most anticipated movie of 2022, starring Robert Pattinson as Batman. Who will play Catwoman?
Zoe Kravitz. She looks fantastic.
All right, Raven. You beat Barbara 4-2 today. That gets you an Anna and Raven t-shirt, Barbara. I know you're excited for that shirt. Enjoy it.
I am. Thanks.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $3,100 tomorrow, Anna.
I cannot beat Raven. Nope.